1500 AM.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Phil Kemmelor, Vice President of Strategic Analytics at a company called Samphonic. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm great. Thanks for having me in today, John.
Well, I hope our listeners are ready for some big fancy pants words, strategic analytics and all kinds of web analytics. But basically, it's trying to get an understanding of what's going on with your website. So that's pretty much what we're going to talk about today. But before we begin, I would like to start off with you, Phil. Maybe you can tell us about your background, how you wound up as the vice president here at Samphonic, and then talk a little bit about the company and what it can do for my listeners, please.
Sure. Thanks. Well, I've been in the field of web analytics for pretty much the last 12 or 13 years, and I got into this from when I started running websites in the early and mid-90s. I found out that it was really important to understand what activity was occurring on the website, who was coming to the website, what they were doing, in order to help figure out if the website was successful. And of course, if the website was successful, I was able to prove it to my management. I was able to get more funding for my website initiatives. And that's the kind of thing that I like to do. And also the kind of companies I worked for at the time were pretty bottom line oriented. People want to know how much money are you getting back from an investment like your website? And so I've been in the field for a long time, and I've worked with a lot of different kinds of companies in both the private sector and now with government and nonprofit. And I find that, you know, organizations that are serious about their website initiatives, they really do want to know if they're getting a return on their investment. They really want to understand if they're helping, if the website is helping them meet their mission or their goals. And certainly in the federal government, it's a lot about meeting mission. Are you reaching your constituencies? Are the programs that you're putting out there and using the web to support, are they reaching the people who you want to reach? And that's what web analytics is about. It's about figuring out what's going on.
You know, the profile of my typical listener is a federal IT program manager, and they show up work in the morning, they beat their head against the wall, then they go home at 5 o'clock. They're getting pushed into being more transparent and more secure. And mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, 10% budget reduction this year. So they're getting pushed and pulled in many directions, and they're getting encouraged to start up new websites to increase transparency with citizens. But then the question I think I would ask, and I think they're asking, is, okay, so we have a new website of benefits.gov. Is anyone going to the site? Should we change it? Should we improve it? What should we do with difference in the future? And I think that's the topic I want to hit on today. What I'd like to do is maybe focus on five or six different ways that a federal IT program manager can take a look at web analytics, maybe help them, maybe give them some free tools, give them some guidance. There's been some changes in that whole area from OMB in the last 4 or 5 months, hasn't there?
Yeah, there's actually been some fairly significant changes. The one that's of most interest is what occurred over the summer, where the OMB changed their guidance on web measurement and are now allowing really greater functionality with regards to web measurement to government agencies. Most people think of this as the allowing tools that use persistent cookies, and I can talk a little bit about what that all means.
Yeah, I have a 19-year-old daughter who is kind of weary of the government and says, "Oh, it's Big Brother, just wants to know everything." And I think if you're a federal program manager, your hands are tied in many ways. You know, if you're selling Joe's Donuts, you can just absorb as much information as you want. A federal IT manager has to be very careful about what they absorb and how they absorb it. And I think that's why some of these changes may be loosened up. That their memos M1022 and memos M1023 from over the summer. Let's jump into the first topic here, a persistent cookie. Perhaps you can define that for maybe some of our non-technical folks who are listening, and then talk about how it's changed here in the last 4 or 5 months.
Well, sure. Well, first of all, to start off, a cookie is it's just a piece of code that transfers from your web server to the browser of someone who's looking at your site. And there's different types of cookies, and I'll just go through that real briefly, because there's cookies that are used now and folks don't really even realize it. There's one, the cookie that's most commonly used now is called a session cookie, and that holds your session in place. So for instance, if I'm filling out a form on your site and then I go and look at some other content and then I come back to the form 5 minutes later, any information that I've put in hasn't disappeared. It's still there. And that's used commonly on websites today. The cookie that's getting the most attention is what we call persistent. And this provides an understanding of visitor activity across multiple sessions. So let's say I'm at your site today. I look around, I look at some pages, and I come back tomorrow. There's a visitor ID, an anonymous visitor ID that's associated with the sessions that I've had. So you could see that I looked at certain content today, and you could see that I looked at other content tomorrow. It's in no way associated with me personally. It's actually an anonymous ID that's associated with my computer. So if I use a computer at work and I use a computer at home, I'll have two IDs associated with that computer. And those persistent cookies are what... are also used for rules-based personalization when you see personalized content, let's say on a site like Amazon. And actually there's even some sites within the federal government that use rules-based personalization, such as NASA and Library of Congress.
So if I go to Amazon tonight and I buy a book on the Civil War, I go back there tomorrow, they're going to say, you also should read this book about the Battle of Fredericksburg or something. So we know these concepts exist. So what kind of limitations federal IT managers have before these new guidelines were released, and what kind of flexibility do they have now?
Well, the biggest constraint was that you couldn't use persistent cookies before this guideline came out. So that means that in terms of measuring your website, you could only, if I went to your site today, like the example I just gave, you could see that I looked at a few different pages. And if I came back to your website tomorrow, it would just be another session. There'd be no way to see that a particular visitor from a particular, from a particular computer looked at these different sets of pages between the first day and the second. It'd all be looked at, as we call it. It'd just be session based. So the only metrics you could develop would be session based. Now with the persistent cookie, you can do visitor based metrics, and that ties together my activity across multiple sessions. Or I really should say, because there's a lot of nuance here, it's not my particular activity, it's the activity that comes from the computer that I was using.
So finally, if you come up with benefits.gov, a new site, you can take a look at it over a month and try to find out what you did right, what you did wrong. If there's an area where no one goes to, maybe it should be changed or altered. Is that what you use it for?
It's that, but it's a little bit more than that even. It's if you happen to find that there's visitors that come from, let's say, a certain organization or from a certain part of the country, maybe there's certain information on your website that's of more interest to visitors in one region versus another. Now you can see that. And now it might be that you want to personalize, or not personalize, but maybe customize content, or maybe change the content so that it might speak more specifically to an audience that's important to you that might not be looking at things the way you really want them to.
So I guess the first step is knowing the OMB's new policy. But the second step, I guess, is trying to find out exactly how to the privacy policy, which has got something with opting in and opting out. Is that right?
Yeah, the privacy policy is probably the biggest to-do in order to enable your agency to use measurement that uses persistent cookies. And what's been done is that the idea of data collection has been split up into three different tiers. And what the privacy policy allows you to do is define the tiers. So there's a tier for collecting session cookie information. There's a tier for collecting information that's based on persistent cookies. And then finally, there's a tier based on collecting personal identifiable information. So now your privacy policy has to state explicitly how you're collecting this data. And I wanted to actually bring to folks' attention that right now NIH, National Institute of Health, and the National Cancer Institute have both changed their privacy policies to be consistent and acceptable and in line with the new OMB policy.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Phil Kemmelor, Vice President of Strategic Analytics at a company called Samphonic. That's S as in Sam, S-E-M-P-H-O-N-I-C, Samphonic.com. And if you go there, you can download a free white paper called The Executive's Guide to Website Measurement and Testing. I like free. I like white papers. And it's written by Phil Kemmelor. Huh, Phil? That's your work, huh?
Yeah, it's actually about a 75 to 80 page it's actually a book. It used to be a book. I've just made it available now as a free download. But
so you can
good stuff in there.
Read that or keep up with more current things like his blog. And he has a blog at WAM, WAM.typepad.com. And in fact, he has a pretty long piece on what the new OMB guidance on web measurement means to my listeners. So it's a good place to start. Before the break, we talked a little about NIH and policy. Let's maybe do a little deeper dive into NIH, and maybe my listeners think they can just turn a switch and have a policy change. It can be done, but it has to be done carefully. Is that right?
Yeah, and actually, the people at NIH and NCI, they probably had their policy updated a month and a half. 2 months after the guidance came out. This just didn't happen overnight. In fact, the people who really spearheaded that, they had known about, you know, they had had in a sense that the policy was going to change, and they had started working with their privacy officers, you know, long in advance, and it takes a lot of it takes a lot of groundwork, and so
especially with medical information.
Or just in this sense, it was just, you know, really getting to the right people who they could explain the policy to. I mean, one thing that I'm learning is that a lot of people involved in policy don't necessarily understand all the nuance and technology behind the web, and a lot of people who work in the web don't really, you know, have as tight a grasp on the policy. So it might take some meetings to explain what web analytics is about, what cookies are about. Now that the NIH and NCI policies are out there, it's probably good to have a copy of those and to show them to the people who are involved to move this along and get your policy changed.
So your policy has changed, and you can start using persistent cookies. There's free softwares out there that you can use. There's software you can pay for. I guess everyone knows about Google and Google Analytics. I think Yahoo has a product. Talk about these little free tools and where they might be used best.
Sure. You know, there's certainly a lot of interest and excitement around the possibility of using Google Analytics and Yahoo Analytics as web analytics tools, at least from the federal website managers that I've spoken to. And those tools are perfectly good tools to use. There's certainly caveats that come with using any free tool. And I think two of the biggest ones that I can think of is that they're not beholden to you at all. They can tomorrow decide to change their pricing. They could decide to go from free to not free. Also in terms of the data ownership, who owns the data? Do you own the data or do they own the data? I think there's a little bit of question about that. And if you're an agency that is sensitive to data ownership, you know, looking at a free tool might be somewhat appealing at first glance, but I think you may want to rethink it, in terms of implementation. The other part of the puzzle with the other thing to consider with the free tools is that, you know, you don't have a call-in desk. You know, you don't have a customer care, tier that you have with a paid-for tool. So I think even though there's, you know, the opportunity to get a free tool and you think you're going to deploy it to everybody, that's just not necessarily the way you're going to want to go.
Now, your company, Samphonic, has training sessions for all these different tools and everything else, or what kind of services do you have in case maybe one of my listeners decides to pursue this and maybe go to the next step here?
Sure. Well, we do training on all of the tools. We actually have partners. We're kind of like the Switzerland, I guess, of web analytics. We don't favor any tool. we have partnerships with everybody, though. So we do implementations. We develop reports. We develop dashboards. We train you on how to interpret reports, how to use the tool. One of the other things that we do, and we find a lot of interest among government agencies is really helping agencies understand how to integrate web analytics into their business process around website development, and also being able to control how web analytics gets used. And something we've seen a lot of, and this it's irrespective of whether the tool is free or not, is that when you just give the tool to people to use, you're going to get lots of differences in terms of what does this report mean? How do I interpret this data? And you get three different people looking at reports. They're going to come up with three different ways to look at the data. And then they start talking about the data throughout their organization. And you start to find that there's at least three different stories that start coming out as far as what does the data mean.
And one sensitive issue that all those listeners should be familiar with is PII, or private information. Is that what that is?
Personal identifiable information. Yeah, yeah, this is getting back to the crux of the policies themselves. In putting these policies together, one of the biggest concerns was in making sure that personal identifiable information, such as someone's social security number or their name, is protected and not exposed. And so the way this new guidance works, there's very clear differentiation between collecting and using PII, personal identifiable information, and then just the anonymous information that we talked about in the first part of the show, which is, you know, session information and visitor, anonymous visitor information.
You know, the GSA about a year ago started offering some little training videos on YouTube. And so if you're the GSA site, I guess they may redirect you to YouTube. But then that opens up a whole wide world of, you know, of analytics and information that that YouTube may capture from the people who visit there. I mean, YouTube must have some kind of a tool for that. And that's the next step, I guess, within all this, isn't it? I mean, it's your site. Then what about the referral site? And what happens there?
Well, that's actually a really interesting use case that you brought up, because that is something that the guidance does cover. Let's say you do have a presence on Facebook. Let's say you do have a presence on YouTube. And now both of those sites collect information about users, about visitors. Well, first of all, that information is aggregated, so it's not really telling you anything specific. The other thing is that within the guidance, it's written that if the third-party site has given assurance to you that they're not going to share personal identifiable information with your agency, then it's perfectly fine. So if you're dealing with Facebook, they are collecting PII for them to use, but as long as they don't share it with you or your agency, then there's really no issue.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Phil Kemmelore, Vice President of Strategic Analytics at Symphonic. That's S as in Sam, EMPHONIC.com. Talk about web analytics. Talk about how federal program managers can take an advantage of what people are visiting their sites and all kinds of information. Big changes over the summer with the OMB guidelines. We touched on the topic of opt-in and opt-out. Explain a little bit more for our listeners, Phil, and what it all means.
Sure. One of the key aspects of the new guidance is that you need to provide a way for your site visitors to opt out of website measurement. And you also have to tell them how to do this opt-out in your privacy policy. It's actually really simple. One of the things that makes it simple is that if you go to USA.gov, there's a little site that gives instructions to show people how they can use their browser settings to opt out. And you can also, in your privacy policy, you could even be more explicit if you need to. But, you know, it's pretty much you go to your browser settings and you look at the options and you look at if you want to accept cookies, you know, from that particular website. And if it's your website, they can put in they don't want to accept cookies from your site and then opt out of the site tracking.
I sure like referring to USA.gov because, you know, these listeners know what that's at and they know exactly where to go. We talked about persistent cookies. We talked about free software. I just want to touch real quickly on this topic of data retention and keeping data for certain periods of time and what rules and regulations that my listeners have in that regard.
Yeah, you know, this is one area where I think the guidance is not really clear. It's the way the guidance is written, it says that you should retain the data that you collect. But, you know, on the other hand, according to the policy, agencies should limit the retention of data to 1 year or less. Well, the only thing about that is that, you know, you might want to keep your data for a longer period of time, especially if you're doing like year-over-year trend analysis.
Well, if I had Joe's Donuts, I'd want to see it over 5 years, I would think, and I don't see why an agency shouldn't see that as well.
Right, and so there's a couple of things you want to have to consider here. One is you have to, at least according to the guidance, make a case, at least internally, for keeping data more than a year. Now, the other thing is, and this kind of gets into the technical aspects of using free tools, is that when you use free tools, there's no guarantee as to how long those tools are going to keep data for you. So your options are downloading either reports that you get and keeping them in a file, or just hoping that they don't delete your data. Now, Google Analytics, for instance, has a stated policy of 13 months they keep the data, but I know they've kept the data longer than that. And Yahoo Analytics, I think, is longer. Now, if you have a paid analytics tool, you can negotiate for them to keep the data as long as you need it, if you're having them host the web analytics service instead of you hosting it on your website.
What do you think is going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years as far as going to be guidance for web measurement? Do you think it's going to change drastically? Do you think handheld devices are going to have an impact here?
I think that for the most part, like handheld devices, you know, mobile, you know, would come under the same type of measurement guidance. There's really no reason why it shouldn't come under the same guidance, because you're still collecting, online data. Now, whether the government sees fit to create a whole new policy, that's another question. I kind of like the idea of keeping it simple. So I'd like, if anything, to just keep this policy and maybe amend it with the idea that it extends to third party, you know, to mobile applications.
I'm just wondering, for example, earlier in the show I mentioned a new website called benefits.gov, and I think benefits.gov is going to benefit, let's use two words here, it's going to benefit from this new web measurement policy here, where maybe 5 or 6 years ago they started new websites that could benefit from it. So maybe from the middle of July here, 2010 onward, they're going to have better tools than they ever had before, and maybe these are enough tools.
It's possible. I think, you know, one thing I think that this policy allows government agencies to consider is that there's multiple ways to collect data about the activity on their website and look at how they can triangulate that data and get really good insights. Web analytics, you know, tracking what we call, you know, as click data, is not the only way to collect information that's useful. A lot of government agencies use what we call voice of customer, online survey, which in the government usually means using the 4C analytics product. There's other ways, though. Doing usability testing, doing user focus groups, market research. There's a lot of different data elements that are available to web analytics program managers or website managers or IT program managers, communication directors, to understand what's going on the website, how the website is functioning, as an independent outreach channel and as an independent content channel in comparison to other offline channels.
You know, if the Obama administration is pushing the agencies to be careful about spending money, you're not going to waste money on the website if you know what's valuable, what's not valuable. I think that's what fits in with the big picture of saving money for federal IT professionals and contactless systems. It can be done with proper use of web analytics.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions, whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity. We're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to dell.com/deliver now.